This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
I was Phil Perry discussing the Patriots edition of Stephon Diggs. 3 years, $69
million. Nice.
That's a quote-unquote $69 million. Quote-unquote 26, rather, guaranteed as well to Stephon Diggs. We can get into all of it. What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? Keefe, I know we're both fans of the signing.
Yeah.
I probably have more questions than you do. But I think we're both fans of the signing in a vacuum. Why do you like it so much?
I love the signing because I, first of all, didn't think it was going to happen. I thought they were going to say, hey, look, we spent a lot of money on Milton Williams and Carlton Davis and a free agency, and like that's all there is, and we're done. It's like, well, you have a glaring need going into the draft, and it's still wide receiver, and you knew that because you were in on Chris Godwin, but then apparently weren't in on anybody else. And there's no perfect player available in free agency, but Steph Diggs was the best at that position, in my opinion, and brought him in for a visit and then left without an offer. And I'm like, oh my God, like they're just doing this again, like with other guys. And it's very Red Sox like from the last few years. So when they announced the signing, I was shocked. So one, them spending money, whether it's 26, 69, somewhere in between, I don't care. They spent more money than any other team was willing to spend on Steph Diggs, to the point where they convinced him to join a 4-win team from a year ago. So I love that aspect of it, just that they are actually spending money on the team. Also, it is their number one receiver. You can get into the debate on how much he has left in the tank and if he is a one around the league. He's definitely a one here.
Clearly, he's their
best guy. We were arguing about it yesterday. You said Kendrick Bourne. I said Pop Douglas. We had a caller that said Kayshon Booty. The fact that there's three people with three different answers on who the number one receiver is proves how bad the room was.
Bad sign.
Terrible. And I know he's not the same guy he was 5 years ago, but Josh Allen went from like so-so quarterback to one of the three best in the league when Steph Diggs joined him. And even if you get a little of that, even if you get a fraction of that to help out Drake May, you're at least throwing him a lifeline here.
Well, and my inclination would be to push back on that and say, yeah, but he went to a young quarterback last year in C.J. Stroud, and Stroud got worse. But if you dig in on the numbers when Diggs played, they're actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, he played half the season.
Reese detailed some of this at ESPN yesterday, and I didn't realize this. Diggs, 31, and he'll be 32 midseason, is still recovering from a season-ending ACL injury that he suffered in Houston's Week 8 game against the Indianapolis Colts on October 27th. Up to that point, Diggs ranked 7th in the NFL in catches, 47, and was 2nd on the Texans in receiving yards, 496. So he's not as explosive as he was. 47 catches is great. 496, not so much. But quarterback C.J. Stroud had a passer rating of 104 and completed 73% of his passes when targeting Diggs. When Diggs was healthy, Stroud benefited as he ranked 6th in passing yards, almost 2,000, and tied for 10th in touchdown passes, 11, through the first 8 weeks of the year. So Stroud was trending towards being a top 10 quarterback. It fell off more when they lost Diggs later in the year. So that is more promising.
They also fired their coordinator. They had a weird thing going on down there.
They fired Slowick, who was great year one, and last year fell in love with handing it to Joe Mixon.
Yeah. And I just think a lot of the guys at the that were available this offseason were also coming off of injuries, because that is one of the concerns with Diggs. So he plays half the season. Right before Halloween, goes down, torn ACL. So you're trying to figure out, all right, how long is that going to be? But Chris Godwin, we were looking at his injuries. Cooper Kupp, we were looking at his injuries. So there wasn't the perfect player out there. We know nobody really wants to play for the Patriots, so you're going to have to make it worth their while, like they did with Milton Williams, like they did with Carlton Davis, and they did it again with Steph Diggs. So I'm not concerned at all about the money, because there was no guarantee they were going to spend any of that on anybody else. So they automatically upgrade the receiver room. You push wherever, however you have the guys ranked before, you push them all down one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good sign. It's also a great sign to me, because there was that talk about, well, it's just about the culture. We only want good guys and this, that, and the other thing. Like, man, it's tough to have a great team with just good guys. It's really tough to pull that off.
So,
and it just tells me that here's Mike Vrabel, right? So Bill Belichick didn't love a big-time flashy receiver. It didn't seem like. I guess he's there for 25 years. So there's some examples of it, some examples
not. Yeah, but largely, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
And then Mayo year one, whether it was his call or not, we didn't see it. And now Mike Vrabel, year one, building this roster, starts out by loading up on defense. We're like, all right, here we go. It's going to be all defense. But then gets a pretty big-name, productive wide receiver, and they're throwing him some money. So I like the sign of that.
So we both like the signing. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Do you think this unlocks Drake May? Are you concerned it'll hinder Drake May in any way? Do you think they overpaid? Because we've heard a lot of that today.
Which is a bizarre take on
it. It's perplexing, to be honest. But, you know, perhaps you don't like it as much as we do. You can jump in again. 617-779-7937. So there's a couple of things I find comical here, Keefe, that don't really bother me, but they expose the Patriots. You just hit on one. The diva wide receiver. The me, get me my targets receiver. And the culture in the locker room and all these things. That's something all the beat writers are putting out there. The Patriots don't want to bring in a guy like that. So they claimed to care about it. I don't.
No.
I never did.
No.
I'll take a diva, give me the ball wide receiver on a team like this every day of the week. Maybe if you're contending for a championship, a guy like that can get in the way. When you're a 4-win suck-ass team, bring in a guy like that, worry about the consequences later. But they put out there that they cared about it as justification for missing out on all these receivers. Now you're going to bring in this guy? I just find that comical. Mm-hmm. I personally don't have an issue with it, but I find it comical a guy who's on his fourth team and burned it down in Minnesota and Buffalo. And I'd question how well-liked he really was in Houston last year, since they didn't bring him back after 1 year.
No, and they went and got Christian Kirk. It's similar to the Rams are like, we're done with Kupp, and then they immediately signed Adams. It's sort of like a bit of a red flag on Kupp. As much as I liked him and still would have taken him and would have been happy with it, but you say, all right, they should know him more than anybody else, so why don't they want him back?
The other thing I find comical, I have zero problem with the contract. I don't care that it's $69 million and 26 guaranteed.
Right.
That doesn't bother me. I think it's comical that the Patriots are really trying to drum it up like it's a big ticket wide receiver contract. Like, see, we spend.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, it ain't even $26 million guaranteed. That's going to be tied to per game roster bonuses and all this. That's the 26.
Yeah.
Isn't even a real number. Never mind the 69 the Patriots won out.
It's very Red Sox-like. The Red Sox are getting a lot of credit, and they should, for Crochet, Walker Buehler, and Bregman. But when's Walker Buehler a free agent? Next year.
Yep.
When's Crochet, if they don't get a new deal, a free agent?
2 years.
When's Bregman a free agent? Could be one.
Yeah, it could be this year.
Right? So, like,
at best, it's 3 years.
So, some decent average annual value on Bregman, and not bad on Buehler. Crochet's on his old deal. And I'm not trying to, like, take credit away from him, but if one of the arguments was they were cheap, this offseason doesn't necessarily solve it for the Red Sox. Like, I think they're going in the right direction, and maybe they shut us all up and they give Crochet this massive extension. Maybe Bregman opts in the next 2 years. The next thing you know, you end up paying him $120 million over 3 years. So that's real money. The Patriots are spending money this offseason, but also they kept not spending money for so many years.
Seriously.
They kept telling us it was the next year is the next year. So I'm not going to, like, completely let them off the hook for all that, but I was definitely surprised that they were willing to go to this degree to get Steph Diggs.
$10 shake makes my point for me in the Twitch chat.
Yeah.
If it's tied to roster bonuses, it's not guaranteed. Yeah, no,
that's
exactly.
That's what you're saying.
The Milton Williams number was reported as a much higher guarantee. Once you dug in on the details, you found out it wasn't.
Yeah,
the teams, the agents, they'll trumpet up guarantees that aren't real guarantees. So we're going to find that out. I bet it's not even $26 million guaranteed. But I don't even care. I just think it's funny the Patriots are trying to drum it up like they paid through the nose for a number one wide receiver.
But this is go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what I like about the deal is that Vrabel may actually be paying off on what he promised, which is we're going to fill out the receiver room, the tackle room. We're going to take away as many needs as possible and let the draft, especially at four, come to us.
Yeah, no, this is good.
A move like this goes a long way in the receiver room. I don't think they're done, but I also don't think they need to force it at pick four or even 38. But like with Travis Hunter, for instance, I don't think you need to force it. You can say, we're going to bring him in. He's the best player available. Maybe he plays more receiver. Maybe he plays more corner. But we now have a guy like Diggs where we can figure that out.
Yeah.
You still need to sign a tackle. Hopefully it's Tyron Smith. I don't really even know who else is out there. But they just took a big step closer to actually letting the draft come to them, which I think is important.
I also think a lot of the things that we've heard kind of leading up to this and then immediately after, you can't share this. So there was, hey, nobody wants to come here, right? Like DK Metcalf famously doesn't want to come here.
Right.
But apparently he wants to go to Pittsburgh. But let's just say nobody wants to come to New England.
Is that a drive-by, Keith?
No, drive-by.
Oh, okay.
Quick drive-by. Look out. So everybody's saying nobody wants to come here. You can't then also say you overpaid for him.
Right.
Because you'd be like, yeah, nobody wants to come here if all the deals are equal.
Right.
But you're going to have to give him more money or, to convince him to come.
Or like, for instance, the nuance on Metcalf. Well, Metcalf didn't want to come here. Yeah, probably because you weren't offering him $150 million.
You didn't offer him anything.
You didn't
they didn't offer him anything.
You didn't want to give him the contract that he wanted, so he didn't want to. Like, I think the Patriots can technically be true saying he didn't want to come here.
Dude, there's no way.
But
did
he not want to come here because it snows? Or does he not want to come here because the money wasn't there?
Yeah.
My guess is the second thing.
No, and the other thing is, and we've talked about Travis Hunter a lot in the last month or so, and I would take him, I'd take him number one overall. But at number four, if he's there, there'd been a lot of these draft guys like Daniel Jeremiah and a few others that were saying, if Travis Hunter goes to the Patriots pre-Steph Diggs,
He's a wide receiver.
Yep. And I was like, well, hold on a second. Like, I want him to play both. I think by adding Steph Diggs, and hell, even Carlton Davis, it might say, we could try it. We could try him playing both ways. It doesn't have to be 100% of the snaps both ways. And we still have a good receiver out there. We still have two good corners out there, even if he's not getting every single rep on.
No, it's a great point. It allows them to, again, let the draft come to them. And with a player like Hunter specifically, see what you got. And you don't have to force him to one side of the football or the other. Or to your point, maybe it gives you the flexibility to play him more as he played at Colorado on both sides of the football.
Yeah.
My questions almost entirely revolve around Diggs and when he'll play and what he'll look like when he comes back. And we kind of sort of got the answer to one of those. Schefter said he's on track, quote unquote,
hell yeah,
to return week one. I am skeptical about that, but if I'm wrong, I like this signing even more than I do today. I want whoever the receiver is to have a training camp and grow with May and be out there week one. I think that would be ideal. I think you can kiss training camp goodbye with Diggs.
Yeah.
But week one, if he's out there, I won't really kick and scream about it. How he looks when he comes back from the injury, we're just not going to know.
Yeah.
I know ACLs are not what they were 10, 20 years ago, but for a guy in his 30s, I'd still like to know how explosive he is when he comes back, especially if he's on the early side of that timeline.
Randy Moss didn't play. It wasn't coming off an ACL, but he didn't play in any training camp.
Correct.
It was also Moss and Tom Brady, so it's hard to compare anybody to
that. Some believe they were kind of hiding him in that training camp to not let the league know what they were on.
It worked until it didn't, but it did work for a while. And so he blows out his ACL at the end of October. Week one is September 8th.
This would be like 10 months.
Yeah. So, I mean, that sort of timeline.
10, 11 months, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's... Yeah, right, because it's early September. So, yeah, it's like on the 10-plus months. So we've seen guys come back from it quicker. We've seen guys take a little bit longer. So it's still very much up in the air. But even if you sort of – if he's already ready by week one to sort of ease into it, so maybe he's not full strength week one, but maybe 3-4 weeks into the season, he's out there and then he's kind of ramping up the reps, and then I think you're in good shape.
If he's out there week one, I'll stand down. My big concern is I don't think he's ready week one. I think he's on PUP and he's not playing in the first few games. That's my big fear with Diggs. Other than that, I don't really have any complaints. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. We'll get back into May's development. And does a guy like Stephon Diggs help or hinder that development? Plus, Rich Keefe has some TV recommendations. We'll get to him next.
Now more of Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
All right, back here with Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones, every once in a while, I like to update everybody on a little, what are you watching on TV? Baseball season about to start, but there's still plenty of shows out there that you can spend your time with. A couple of shows that just ended. One, of course, being Severance, which I think is going to be tough for any show in 2025 to top. Season 2 came to an end last Friday. 10 episodes, Apple Plus, Highly recommend it.
Well, I'll tell you, yeah. I've been listening to all the Dork recap episodes of Severance, and the grades that you and Danielle and Davey and Billy D gave to Severance are just off the charts. Yes,
you can't really beat it.
Can't come with higher marks than that.
You can maybe tie it. Yeah. I don't know if you can beat it. Also, we talked briefly yesterday in the grab bag for documentaries, the Karen Reed documentaries on HBO. And did you see this update from Karen Reed? By the way,
no.
I just saw this on Twitter. Karen Reed has added a juror from the first trial to her legal team.
To her legal team?
That's what it says. WBZ has that report.
I have not seen that.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't really know much.
And they basically had Turtle Boy working for their legal team. So I think you can do a bunch of
that's
that.
That's also true.
But anyways, I had not seen that.
So those are both in the books. All right, as for shows on right now, Daredevil Born Again, it has been a little bit of a slow burn. This was the superhero show that was on Netflix, then it got canceled, and then it got kind of rebooted here on Disney Plus. I love the character, I love the actor. Good stuff. They had two episodes last night for some reason instead of just the weekly episode stuff. But it's good. It's like six through, I think there's nine episodes total. So I like that.
They didn't want to give you an episode on April Fool's Day. They had to double up.
Maybe.
Give everybody the holiday off.
That could be.
Yeah.
Another show, which I knew was coming out this year. I forgot when it snuck up on me. There are two episodes available right now. David Blaine, Do Not Attempt.
Okay.
It is a David Blaine show. Are you familiar with David Blaine?
Yeah, sure.
So I love David Blaine. I love magic. Heaven to me would be somebody doing card magic for eternity. Just one card trick after the other. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Wow.
So he
I didn't know that about you.
I love card tricks.
Big magic guy.
Love magic. Love illusion.
Same.
Wonder.
Really?
Love it.
It's the best.
There's a show, you know Penn & Teller?
Yeah. Of course.
Penn & Teller do Fool Us.
Yeah.
Basically, magicians come out, they do their trick, and then Penn & Teller tells you why they know or how you pulled it off.
Oh,
the only issue with it is they tell you in a language where, unless you're a magician, you wouldn't get it.
You haven't picked up on the lingo yet?
I haven't picked up on the lingo yet, but it's pretty odd. No, I'm with Keith. I'm mesmerized by
it. Inside magic. Well,
I would DVR America's Got Talent just to get two magicians in card tricks.
Yes.
You're scouting for the next Penn & Teller.
Correct.
I love it.
Yeah, I got it.
So David Blaine does those, and he's made a few different shows. He has the one when, remember, he's in Harrison Ford's house, and he like tells him to get out of his house because he like somehow put the card like inside of an apple or like something insane. He's like, peel that orange. He's like, but a card. The Two of Clubs falls out. So I love that. He also has one where he's inside the Dallas Cowboys locker room, and these guys all think he's like a wizard, and they're just like running away from him. Like he like levitates. It's nuts.
Wow.
So anyway,
so that's better than the O's the Mentalist or whatever, that guy who I've seen like videos from. In an NFL locker room.
Forget that guy.
Yeah.
This is where it's at. David Blaine is where it's at. He does a lot of stunts that like don't really do it for me as much. He had the one where he like held his breath for like an hour inside like a water tank. He did one where he did the Houdini, like catching a bullet. He did one where he was just like, wasn't he just like standing up really still for a while? Like he's done like these weird ones. So anyway, this is a show where he's going around the world learning magic from other people and then also doing some of his own stuff. Here's the problem.
Okay.
Two episodes in, a lot of snake stuff.
Oh, no.
It's snakes out there this big?
Yeah, the first episode, they're like chasing an anaconda. I'm like, well, I'm fast forwarding this. I'm like, I can't watch this. And then the second episode, he's like battling a cobra. I'm like, for God's sakes. But he does some cool stuff. He did one thing, they like light him on fire and he like jumps off a bridge. It's, he's wacky.
Good stuff.
It's good stuff. It's David Blaine.
Just too many snakes.
Yeah, they got to ease up with the snake stuff.
Okay.
Two episodes in, like multiple snakes.
If you're a snakeophobe, maybe out. Skip it, but otherwise,
maybe out.
Good
a
stuff.
A lot of snakes in the show you've been watching lately.
That is true.
It is.
Does Keith Sneaky like snakes now?
I'm terrified. So there was also like a 10-minute scene 2 weeks ago in The White Lotus that I had to like block my eyes. So here's a show. This is a polarizing show. People love The White Lotus. I don't know why.
Yeah, I heard a lot of this in the crossover today. You were down on it. Everybody else very, very into it.
So it seems like Courtney likes it. It seems like Greg was, but Greg knew where I was coming from. Where I'm like, nothing happens.
Right.
He's like, yeah,
this is true.
So here's my thought on The White Lotus. At least for season three, it has a great cast, and they shoot it in Thailand, and so they're at like a resort, and like it looks cool. So like the actors are great. And it's a cool setting, so maybe people are fooling themselves into that it's a good show.
Seasons one and two were real slow burns, and then they got really good in like the last two or three episodes. I'm pretty sure that's how they're treating.
This is
like, because something crazy's gonna happen. In the last couple episodes.
This is moved on from slow burn to a slog.
Okay.
A slow burn, at least something happens at the end. It's a slow burn to something, or it's just a slog. And that's what we're dealing with right now. So I won't spoil anything, but I'll just say, well, it was a minor spoiler, I guess, for the last episode. There was a scene where something happens, but then it's actually like a dream. And so when something happened.
So Curtis was complaining about this. Yeah.
So
yeah,
when something happened, I looked at me and my wife both go like, finally something. And then it was like, oh no, that actually didn't happen.
And you're like,
I wish that did. I wish that did happen.
So you wasted an episode on a dream. Great.
So there's like two more episodes to go. It's a terrible show, and I'm not sure anybody why they're watching it. I will continue to watch it just because I'm a completionist.
Did you say, well, but are you this? This is what I was going to ask. Did you ditch out of one and two?
Actually, you're right.
So you're not.
I guess I'm not.
It's going to be the third year in a row you're going to ditch out?
I think I gave like one episode in on both. This one I gave like two or three, and then I was like.
More of a commitment.
It's got Walton Goggins, Michelle Monaghan, Parker Posey, Carrie Coon. I'm like. I'm in. Sam Rockwell. Like
you told me they like watch Southern Charm to prep for the roles too.
For the
right?
Parker Posey family.
Which brings me you can speak to an interest level, yeah.
Jennifer Coolidge definitely did carry the first two seasons though. And now she's not in this one.
Yeah, right. Right. Yellow Jackets. Speaking of people eating each other, I have not watched it yet. I'm waiting to binge. There's like a couple episodes left. This is also I've complained about this. You have Paramount. You don't get it. You need Paramount Plus Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
Showtime's not even its own
app. Jones household has it.
You probably do.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We need that password because I cannot watch this Yellow Jacket. So anyway, apparently it's not good, though. It's not very good.
Oh.
But I watched it. The first season was tremendous television. The studio just debuted last night. This is the Seth Rogen, Catherine O'Hara show. It runs like a studio, as it turns out. It's a comedy, though. It's supposed to be pretty good.
What kind of studio?
Like a TV studio, I believe.
Right?
TV or movie
Not
studio.
Like a Studio 54, like a TV
no,
studio.
No, I don't think it's quite that risque.
Got it.
No. There's a show called Residence, which Nick watched, or you're halfway through?
Watching. There's eight episodes. I'm three in. Apparently, it hits a little bit of a lull, though, soon.
Yeah,
so
boy.
I'm kind of worried.
It's billed as, like, only murders in the building, but the building is the White House.
Oh,
it's paced like it. It's shot like it. It's basically the same thing, just in the White House.
And I haven't started watching it yet, but people like Adolescence. It's only a few episodes on Netflix. I think every episode's like a one shot. That's what I heard. I could be wrong, but and then of course Celtic City, which we have discussed. That is what four episodes into their 9-part series.
Yeah. They four episodes in, only one on Bird so far.
Yeah.
And then we should be getting into the mid-80s Celtics and Lakers next week.
And then lastly, coming up in April, The Last of Us and Andor both return. It'll be the final season of Andor. It'll be season two of The Last of Us, two shows I am very much looking forward to.
Okay. TV recommendations from Rich Keefe. You're a fan of the David Blaine Do Not Attempt. Just
cool it with the snakes.
Chill out with the snakes.
Maybe cool it a little bit.
Pythons, rattlesnakes, cobras, black mambas.
It's everywhere. I couldn't believe how many snakes.
It's quite a few. 617-779-7937.
A house filled with snakes.
You can yell about the White Lotus complaints, which I see the Twitch chat doing a sizable amount of. And
is it split or are people like it?
I think people like it.
They don't know why. They've been brainwashed.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's on Sundays
like what
on
you
HBO.
Like. I just don't understand how.
So you just kind of follow the herd on that
Sunday
one.
At 9.
Yeah,
HBO,
exactly.
It's got to be good.
By the way, we'll get back to Steph Diggs as well. Is he going to help or hinder Drake May's development? We'll do that with your phone calls next.